The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 31st, 2008, in Hornsby, Australia.
So, tonight, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Satatam kirtayanto mam.
Satatam kirtayanto mam.
Yatantascha dridhavrata.
Yatantascha dridhavrata.
Namashantascha mam bhaktya. Nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things, therefore a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam parasevanam. And remembering him, such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve the ultimate end, the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, the Ekadashi, that's today, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it is also performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity He can live this life in devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master. And in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position anywhere in the world, even Sydney, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become Mahatma and great soul. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Puri jana saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, what is the significance of these transcendental words? Do you think these words have any significance? Are they just some flowery language, some poetry? Do you think Krishna would take the trouble of coming to this material world simply to give some nice poetry? If you were spending a night in a hotel somewhere in a strange town, you're up on the fourth floor of the hotel, or let's say the seventh floor of the hotel, and you go to sleep, and all of a sudden you wake up, the fire alarm is going off. You hear the sirens, you know the building is on fire, and then you open the door to escape, and the hall is completely in flames. But you have a balcony, and you hear a voice. You hear someone calling from the outside. If anyone is up there on the seventh floor in room 101, in room 701, come to the balcony right now and jump off the eastern edge towards the swimming pool. We have a net to catch you. Would you listen carefully to make sure you jumped off the right part of the balcony? There's smoke everywhere. But the firemen know you're up there. They know which room you're in. And they're calling up to you to jump. But they're telling you which side to jump from of the balcony. If you jump from the wrong side, you're a dead man. If you jump from the correct side, you're saved from the blazing fire, you see. So how carefully you would listen to those instructions. So do not underestimate the importance of these words of the Bhagavad Gita. They are just as important, if not more important, than the words of those firemen calling out to you in that burning hotel, telling you which side of the balcony to jump from. This is not simply a social gathering. This is a matter of life and death. Do you understand? This is a matter of life or death. We have been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes because of an attachment to material sense gratification. We have been forced by our own stupidity to take birth after birth after birth in the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the fish kingdom, the bird kingdom. We've seen it all through 8,400,000 species. This is described in the Vishnu Purana. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavalal Stavaralakshavingshati Krimyo Ruddha Sankhyaka Pakshinam Daksalakshanam Trinsha Lakshani Parshavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. We have been through 8,400,000 species of life. And now, in this human form, we have the golden opportunity to reawaken our original enlightened consciousness and to escape the cycle of birth and death and to become an eternal inhabitant of this transcendental kingdom of the Lord, serving Him in His unlimitedly sweet nectarian pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. So, we have to jump off the correct side of the balcony. This is not a time for chit-chat. You can chit-chat later on. This is a time to hear. God has given you how many ears? Two. And how many mouths? One. That means you should be twice as interested to hear as you are to talk. So, kindly hear very nicely and do not chat with your friend during the class. You can chat with him all you want after the lecture, but now you should hear. Because by this hearing, you will become spiritually enlightened. By this hearing, you will realize the Supreme Truth. Do you understand? This hearing will save you from the repetition of birth and death. So, you must hear with all seriousness. These words are not ordinary words like on the TV or the radio or some CD. These are the words coming from God. I am simply the messenger. But I am bringing you the message from God Himself. Do you understand? I am bringing a message from God. So you must hear this message. You must hear it with both ears and take it deep, deep, deep within your heart. And then, by that hearing, you will become, and doesn't matter if you're a little boy, you're a little girl, you're an old senior citizen, whatever you may be, all these children should sit nicely in here, because someone may think, oh, this is high philosophy. Children cannot understand. Actually, it doesn't work that way. We have seen that the children will sit and hear this high philosophy. They become highly philosophical. We have seen. Little children, when it comes to the questions and answers, none of the adults raise their hand. The children raise their hand and ask high philosophical questions. We've seen it many times, you see. So it's very good. I'm happy these young children are up front. This is very good, you see. So let all the children learn how to sit nicely and hear the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we adults must also hear. We shouldn't think, well, we already know that. Yeah, I'm a Hindu. I already know all that stuff. The fact is, 99% of what goes around in the name of Hinduism is a misconstrued version of the actual knowledge given in the Vedas. It's hearsay, granny wisdom. It came down, and we heard my grandmother said, and she heard her grandmother. It has been very much confused now. We need to get back to the original pure teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we can understand these teachings perfectly well, then we become spiritually enlightened beings. We don't have to become sannyasis. Did Arjuna become a sannyasi? Arjuna remained in his job. Actually, he wanted to quit. He wanted to retire from his job. become a sadhu. And Krishna forbid him, no, you cannot become a sadhu, going to offer meditation. You must stay here, you must do your duty and offer the result to me. So we have not come to tell you to renounce your household life and become forest dwellers. No, you remain in your occupation. If you're a lawyer, you remain lawyer. If you're the Prime Minister of Australia, you can remain Prime Minister. Whatever is your position, you remain in your position, but you add this missing ingredient to the recipe of your life. If you try to bake a cake, you may have all the very nice ingredients there. You may have the flour, the sugar, the butter, the vanilla. You see, all the ingredients are there. But if you leave out the baking powder, oh, your cake is a disaster. You see. So, in this modern day society, we have everything. We have the flour, we have the butter, we have the sugar, we have the vanilla, but we're leaving out the baking powder, Krishna consciousness. You see. And therefore, in spite of all these material arrangements, we have drought. We have so many problems. Because we are leaving out the baking powder. As soon as you add Krishna to the recipe of your life, then your life becomes perfect. That's all. We're saying whatever you're doing now, that is all right. But add Krishna to your life. Krishna is the essential ingredient that will make your life successful. Without Krishna, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how famous you are, I don't care how much power you have, I don't care how many wonderful relatives you have. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a useless waste of time unless you put Krishna in the center of your life. It is all spoiled, wasted. You will go down to the animal kingdom. And please don't say, I just cursed you to go down to the animal kingdom. I didn't say that. Sometimes people accuse, and we preach heavy philosophy, they say, oh, Guruji just cursed me. I'm not cursing anyone. I'm blessing you with the knowledge that will liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. I haven't come to curse you. I have come to bless you with the knowledge which will deliver you. Simply hear nicely and try to apply this knowledge. And then I can guarantee if you do so, you will achieve spiritual perfection in this very lifetime. All your anxieties will go away. You become full of love for the Supreme Lord and for all living beings. You'll conquer over lust. You'll conquer over anger. You'll conquer over greed. You'll conquer over madness, illusion, and envy. I can guarantee you'll become full of all saintly qualities if you simply follow our simple program of Krishna consciousness. All saintly qualities will come to you, your spouse, your kids, the whole family become perfect if you simply add Krishna. You see, everybody wants a happy home. You see, you make Krishna the center of your home, I guarantee you'll have a happy home. There'll be no divorce. The kids won't become juvenile delinquents. The whole family life will be very, very happy. You simply make Krishna the center. This is our humble request. So how do you do that? That is described in this verse that we have read tonight. That is by this process of chanting. Satatang kirtayanto mam. Krishna says, always chant my glory, you see. So we recommend that you get the japa mala. How many of you chant japa mala? Let's see, raise your hand. Oh, very good, yes. This japa mala is very nice. Because instead of just getting up in the morning and, you know, taking a shower and putting some food down my stomach and getting out on the train or whatever, the car, going to work, instead, you get up in the morning and have a wonderful spiritual program. It's the most exciting part of the day. You get up early, you chant the holy names of God. It's the most thrilling, exciting thing. Every day you begin your day like that. Now, oh, I got to go to work again. You know. It's like a, you know, without Krishna consciousness, life is a little depressing. I'll be honest, you know. It's a depressing thing, a little depressing. Oh, I got to get up and go to work again. But no, if you get up, wow, I get to get up, have a wonderful program. Chant the holy names of God in the morning. Before you go to school, also the kids can do, you see. Get up and have a wonderful program of diving deep into the sweet, sweet nectar of God's holy names. And then when you go to work, it's just like, it's so easy to go to work. Now you're empowered by Krishna. Your day is just so smooth and sweet. It's like taking a knife and putting it through soft butter. Your day goes very quickly. You see everything in relation with Krishna all day long at the office. And you look forward to going home for another spiritual program in the evening. You get the whole family together, have a little kirtan, read some Bhagavad Gita, tell the kids some Krishna stories to put them to bed. And it's a wonderful life, you see. You base your whole day around Krishna. You offer your whole life to Krishna. And it becomes so sweet, becomes so wonderful and so happy. You just wonder, how could I ever live without this? How did I ever even survive without this Krishna consciousness? You see. That's how you, I mean, it's like night and day. So this is our humble request to you all. Will you kindly try to make Krishna consciousness a daily part of your life? And if you do so, your life will become simply wonderful. And if you feel it is already simply wonderful, it will become 1,000 times more simply wonderful. We absolutely guarantee that. So I can ask now if there's any questions, and probably somebody can relay them to me. Up at the front can tell me. Any questions? Anyone have some question? I can see you're all very intelligent people. Yes, very good.
So I didn't hear the chapter number. So right at the start. I didn't hear the chapter number.
Chapter 9, text 14. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
Maharaj, sir,
I come from a typical Hindu family back in India.
What kind?
Typical.
Oh, okay.
Typical Indian Hindu family. And you've been raised in tradition where they have all the different gods, Brahma, and the different incarnations of Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite understand, I think, through reading texts, that Bhakti Pantha is one method of reaching God, where you eliminate everything else than the Supreme Being, which is Krishna. However, when I try to explain this thing to other friends I have, they say that how can you call Krishna the Supreme Being, where we have been told right from the beginning, from childhood, that Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh are the Supreme Beings, and then
yes, we can be told so many things, but those who are actually learned it, they go directly to the Vedas themselves and study the scriptures, you see. There's what's called, there's hearsay, and there's what's directly given in the scripture. There's a difference. Through the hearsay, things can become changed. That's why we have to hear from a bona fide spiritual master who knows the scriptures as they are. Because in the scriptures, Brahma, what if someone say, yeah, they're all, Brahmaji is the supreme, Shiva is the supreme, Krishna, Vishnu, they're all the supreme. But what do they say? Brahmaji says, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. You should memorize that verse. And when they say Brahmaji is supreme, you say, well, but Brahmaji says Krishna is the supreme. And Lord Shiva also affirms in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Krishna is the supreme. So if we want to take others as supreme, why don't we take them, why don't we, if they're so exalted, why don't we believe what they say? You see? It's say, well, I don't believe, I accept Brahmaji as supreme, but I don't accept what he says. That doesn't make sense. If Brahmaji is a great authority, then why don't he accept what Brahmaji says? Brahmaji says Krishna is the supreme. Shiva says that Krishna is the supreme. You see? Krishna says that Krishna is the supreme. Everybody says that Krishna is the supreme. So why the great, all the great Mahajanas, you see, they are the ones who have guided the Vedic civilization for millions of years. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumaro Kapilomanu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakirviam. You see, these great Mahajanas, they have guided the Vedic civilization. They have all affirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, there is what's called vox populi, or popular vote, but we don't take popular vote. We take what do the great authorities say. You see, that is our, that's how we understand. Not by popular vote. I mean, you know how Hitler got, came into power? Popular vote, you know that? Hitler was popularly elected by the German people. Majority vote put him into office. So, if we want to take popular vote to decide who's the supreme, you could end up with Hitler. We have to take what the great Mahajans have said. You see. What does Brahmanji say? What does Lord Shiva say? What do the Kumaras say? What do all the great Acharyas say? Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, even Shankaracharya, who is Shiva's incarnation, he said, Bajagovindam, Bajagovindam, Bajagovindam. All the great Acharyas have declared that Krishna is the Supreme. So why don't we take the voice of the Acharyas? They are the authorities, not popular vote. You see, that you can explain to them.
Is there a significance to the number 108 when we chant the mala?
108 is a very auspicious number.
Is there, so how would you explain the significance of that number?
How would you explain? Well, there's 108 gopis, 108 Upanishad. It's a very auspicious number. Deeds. On your japa mala, very auspicious. We even use that title for the spiritual master. Huh? He's called Astatarashatta, 108. His divine grace, 108 AC Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. That title is also used for the spiritual master, 108. If you call somebody 108, it's a great glorification. I don't know what?
Pilgrimages.
108 different pilgrimage places? Yeah, that's very auspicious. Do 108 different pilgrimages. That's very nice. You can do anything 108 times, it's very good. Go to our Sydney temple 108 times every year at least. You see? You keep count. 108 times I must go every year, at least 108 times. That's very auspicious, you see. Very auspicious number. If you go out to distribute books, go out with 108 books. And don't come back until you've distributed 108 books. Very auspicious. If you want to make devotees, you make 108 devotees, you see. It's very auspicious. You can use 108 in so many ways. If you want to make a feast for Janmashtami, make 108 preparations, you see. It's very nice. If you can, 108 is a very, very special number. You can use it in so many ways, you see. Of course, the typical thing in Hindus is give a $101 donation, 101. But actually, you can give 108. It's even nicer. Give a $108 donation, you see. That way the temple gets seven more dollars. Any other questions?
Some people chant on the bead, but some people don't use the bead. They say, oh, whole day we are chanting.
Yes, yes.
What will be the end result? They get more benefit, those who are chanting on the bead?
Some people say, I don't need to chant beads because I'm chanting all day long.
That's right.
So, just pop in on them at any time during the day and see if they're actually chanting. That's one thing you can do. They say, I'm constantly chanting all day. I don't need beads. Just kind of show up at their, you know, show up and they don't expect you and hear, are they actually chanting or not? That's one thing you can do. That's one thing. You see. Are they really chanting or they just say they're chanting because they don't want to chant on the bead? I'm chanting all day long in the mind. Well, if you could get a special instrument that could read their mind, you could see if they were really doing that or not. While they're reading the newspaper and watching television, etc., etc. Are they really chanting all day long, or are they just saying that? But the real thing is this. The acharyas have taught us to chant on the beads for a reason. It's not just a cult. There's a science behind it. The beads, when you chant on those beads, the more you chant, the beads themselves get shakti. You see? Every time you chant on that bead becomes more invested with bhakti shakti. So, the more you chant, the more those beads become surcharged. And then when you get diksha, your spiritual master chants on the beads. It gives them great empowerment. You see? So, the idea is that you should engage all of your senses in Krishna consciousness. You see, with your ears, with your tongue, you're saying the name. With your ears, you're hearing the name. And then you're also feeling the beads, and you're getting the sensation of touch. And then you're in the temple, maybe chanting, or you're in your mandir at home. You have some pictures there. You have some incense burning. In this way, all of your senses become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So the beads are very important. If you go to Vrindavan, you will see that Rupa Goswami's samadhi, his japa beads are there. And we know Prabhupada chanted on japa, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, Lord Shiva chants on japa. This is the system. This is the Vedic system. The japa mala is not some mala made up this propaganda that you have to chant on the beads to make some money, you see. It's not the propaganda of the malawalas. It is a fact. The great acharyas have chanted on beads and taught us to chant on beads.
What is the thing? If someone is chanting the whole day, then what is the difficulty for them to hold the mala for 2 hours?
Yes, Vishnupriya Mataji has made the point. Saying, well, I'm always chanting, I don't need the beads. If they're always chanting, what's the difficulty then to hold the beads for 16 of their mala, you see, their japas? Yeah, what's the problem? Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
Lord Krishna himself, that those who chant my name, they get me. But those who chant others, they as well get me. But
Yanti Deva Vrita Devan Pritrin Yanti Pritri Vrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhuchaja Yanti Majjino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods, they will go to the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors, they will go to the ancestors. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits, they will take birth among such beings. But those who worship me, they will live with me. So you get whatever you worship, that's what you get. The demigods are not living in the transcendental world. They are living in the material world on higher planets. And those planets of the demigods are destroyed at the time of the universal devastation. If you worship a demigod and go to his planet, it's only a temporary vacation. It's not a permanent residence. But if you go to the planet of Krishna, that is not destroyed when the universe is destroyed. So why work so hard worshiping a demigod when you're only going to get a temporary leave of absence from the suffering condition, and you're going to be forced back again to suffering again? Better to get a permanent relief by going to Krishna's planet. That's a good point. Any other questions? Yes.
One question. In chanting, what is more important, quality or the quantity?
Actually, both are important. And quality is the most important of the two, and quantity is also important, because our quality, actually, here's the real understanding. If you could say Hare Krishna one time with perfect quality, you would achieve perfection in one saying at one time. Because our quality is not up to the highest level at this time, therefore quantity is very important. Because the more you chant, the quality will naturally improve by the power of the name. But actually, the pure devotee can say Hare Krishna one time and achieve all perfection. These children should be taught to be sitting in here and listening, not running around and screaming. They need to hear this, otherwise they won't learn how to become Krishna conscious. Child is the time for education and for future programs. Maybe a little hard now, but the future programs, keep your child with you if he runs crazy like that. Have him sit with you. Because it's very important that all the children sit in here. This is how they become great transcendentalists, just by hearing. They can run and play all week long, but once a week they can sit in here. So any other question? Yes. What kind of karma?
Practicing Krishna consciousness in every activity, all the karma we perform for Krishna now, so that our karma from the past life is also reduced or only for this life.
By taking up Krishna consciousness, you become free from all the karma of all the lifetime. Krishna says, Sarva papebhyo mokshyasyami. When he says sarva papebhyo, that means all of your karma. Doesn't mean only this life. This lifetime is only part of your karma. But Krishna says sarva in Sanskrit. Sarva means all. Sarva papebhyo mokshyasyami. He says, I deliver you from all of your sinful reactions. You boys should stay here. I know you're thinking about joining the fun out back. Please stay and listen. You will get great benefit. Please stay. You'll be the leaders of all the other children by staying here. You'll become their leaders in due course. Okay? Yes.
Krishna talks about karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, offer everything to me. Lift yourself by your own effort and offer that to me. Then he talks about sankhya yoga. And he says, karma yoga is superior because it's easier to practice than sankhya yoga. Although in sankhya yoga, he says, it's very hard to constantly hold that you're doing nothing and it's nature that's active. So my question is that if you're trying to remember that and trying to do karma yoga and you're not very good, then some of that not very good, how do you offer without improving yourself if you try to remember that you're doing nothing and nature that's acting?
Do you follow the question?
I follow a little bit. He says in karma yoga, Krishna says, offer all the results to me. But while doing that, there is a negative karma also. And then the sankhya yoga, he says that sankhya yoga is better than the karma yoga.
No, he doesn't say sankhya yoga is better. He says karma yoga is superior because it's easier to practice.
It's easier to practice.
But in sankhya yoga, he says that the person must hold that he does nothing. And it's nature that's acting. So if you hold that in your mind, that you're doing nothing, and it's nature that's acting, then while doing karma yoga, if you're not very good, how do you offer all of that not very good also to him?
Negative karma also to Krishna.
Now devotee gives up the We do not do the sinful activities. Those cannot be offered to Krishna. That's why we have rules. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Those cannot be offered to Krishna.
Well, obviously those are the worst side of the bad things. But equally bad, in my mind, is not a... Because he tells Arjuna, do your duty efficiently. So if I know I'm not very efficient, I sleep too much. Right, how do I offer him?
The sleep should also be restricted. One should not sleep too much.
Well, I know you tell that. You got to practice that.
We train our devotees how to work very efficiently for Krishna, very nicely. How to fill your 24 hours with bhakti. We train them not to waste time. Yes. That is training. Children, come here and sit down. Very good. Very, very good. I'm so happy you have all come. We're going to teach you how to be unlimitedly happy. Children like to play, isn't it? So we're going to teach you how you can all, in your heart, you'll always be playing with Krishna at every minute, 24 hours a day. So I have a special knowledge I will give you tonight, how you can always be playing in your heart with Krishna 24 hours a day and always be happy. So you just have to sit nicely and hear everything I say. And then you'll become the most happy children in the whole world, I promise it, okay? Okay, very good. Yeah, the fact is that the bhakta has to learn how to do everything very nicely for Krishna. That's a thing. Just like I'm training these children how to offer even their, you know, how to sit nicely in here. Because by doing everything in a first-class way, Krishna says, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yaj jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikanteya tat karushva madarpanam. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. This is an order, an instruction given by Krishna, that everything should be done. But he doesn't want us doing pop. He wants us to do activities of bhakti, everything. When he says whatever you eat, he doesn't mean to eat your meat or your fish or your egg should be offered to me. Because he prescribes in chapter 9, text 26, patram pushpam palantayam yoma bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhaktya pavrisnam mishnashnami prayatatmanah, that you should offer me fruits from the vegetarian category, you see, fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. So Krishna, if you read, you take the message of Bhagavad Gita in total and not just take one verse, take the whole Bhagavad Gita as a complete message, then it's very clear what Krishna is ultimately saying. He's giving other systems for sake of comparison. He talks about Sankhya Yoga, this yoga, that yoga, but what does he say at in the final verse of chapter 6? Yogi nam api sarmesham yad gatena taratmana shadavan vajate yamung soma yukta tamo mataha. He says, of all the yogis, of the Sankhya yogis, the Karma yogis, the Ashtanga yogis, the Jnana yogis, of all the yogis, the one who always abides in me, thinking of me within himself, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. But Krishna has his opinion. And he says the bhakti yogi, he is on the highest level. You see? So, if you're not ready for bhakti, then whatever yoga you feel comfortable, you do that yoga. But what does Krishna say in chapter, I forget the chapter number, Bahunam Yovidadati, 7:19. Chapter 7, text 19. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatmasulurubabha. So those persons who follow the philosophical Sankhya path, you see, he says, after many births and deaths, bahunam janaman ante. You know the meaning of the Sanskrit. Jananam bahunam ante. After many births and deaths, what do? They surrender to me. So why wait for many births and deaths? Why not finish our business now? You see? Sankhya yoga, you're going up the staircase. You'll get to the top, I don't deny. But bhakti, you're taking the elevator. Why not get on the elevator? There was one man, he went to the... He went to the world, this is a story, but one man, he went to the World Trade Center before it was blown up, of course. And he had an appointment on the top floor. And he thought, I don't want to ride the elevator. I'm going to walk the stairs. It took him all day. By the time he got up there, the office was closed. If he'd just taken the elevator, he'd gotten his appointment with no problem, you see. So we don't know how long we will live. It's very dangerous nowadays. You never know. A traffic accident, a terrorist attack, a heart attack. You never know. You know. It's a dangerous world. Let's face the reality. Look in the newspaper if you don't believe me. We all know it's a dangerous place. So bhakti yoga, you can immediately come to the enlightened platform. You simply surrender to Krishna, that's all. And then immediately you're enlightened. Sankhya will take you many lifetimes to perfect it. So why not finish it up now? So you, your wife, your kids, the whole family can go back to the spiritual world together and live with Krishna forever. You see? We're pro-family here. That's why we want you all to do bhakti, because the kids, to see the kids, they're doing bhakti just by sitting. Let's give the kids a hand of a round of applause. They're sitting and listening tonight. This is so wonderful. I'm so proud of you children. You so wonderfully come to hear. Thank you very much. Everyone can do bhakti. Can they do sankhya? No. But they can do bhakti just by sitting before the spiritual master and hearing the message. They are doing bhakti. Bhakti has 9 aspects. And the first one is shravanam, hearing, you see. Just by hearing from the guru, hearing from the sadhus, hearing from Gita, these children, they become quickly great sadhus, great saintly people, you see. You don't have to beat their heads with morality. Just give them Krishna consciousness, they'll automatically be moral. Because they're getting a great pleasure in love of God, you see. So this is a very practical system, even for a happy family life, you see. What to speak of going back to Godhead? Yes.
Maharaj, I think Prabhuji, what he is telling is, he has read one verse and it says like this, how can we offer any negative karma to Krishna? But Krishna says that, give up the dualities like good or bad and then come to me. Like that's what they like the material world, the dualities are auspicious and inauspicious.
Yes, yes.
Give up and please come to me. That's what my understanding is.
Yes, so is there a question? You have a question?
No, I'm just...
I see. Okay. That sounds right. Yes.
Between chanting and listening, which is more important?
Chanting and hearing? Yes. Actually, if you're not chanting, you can't be hearing.
Yeah, but according to you, actually, God actually has given us actually 2 ears. Right. So our hearing actually should be double.
Yeah, that's especially when it comes to the lecture time. If we shouldn't be sitting and chanting with our neighbor during the lecture, we should be hearing. But actually hearing is the first item. But it is also stated by Rupa Goswami, Jivadho, the first principle is the tongue. After you have heard, which you have to do. Hearing is actually the most important thing. Because without hearing, you can't do anything. But after you have heard, then the tongue is the most important thing. Because you have heard the name of Krishna, you have heard Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You have heard it. Now, chant it, you see. And taste prasad. So actually they're both important, but actually the hearing is the most important thing. In fact...
Prahlad Maharaj listened in the mother's womb.
Prahlad Maharaj heard in the womb. That's how he became... There was no chanting for him in the womb. Simply by hearing in the womb, the child is not able to chant, you see. He simply heard within the womb of his mother from Narad Muni, and he came out as a great sadhu, and then he was able to preach so nicely and powerfully to his father. But simply by hearing, in fact, Prabhupada also, he gave himself as an example. At that time, he was just a young businessman in Allahabad. And he went to his Guru Maharaj. He wasn't initiated yet, actually, but he accepted within his heart Bhakti Siddhanta as his guru. In his heart, he had already accepted, this is my spiritual master. So, there was some Vrindavan Parikrama, and they were doing traveling around Vrajmandal and doing the the Tirtha Yatra, you know, around Braj Mandal. So, one night, actually every night there would be that lecture, and there would also be darshan. Now here in Sydney, now people go for cinema, for some dance parlors, so many things. We don't want to mention in front of the children. So many things they go at night, you see, illicit things. But in Vrindavan, they go for darshan. That is the nightlife in Vrindavan. It's so nice thing, you see. Darshan time, you see. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he spoke in very, very erudite English. Even us native speakers, we try to look up what he's talking about in a big dictionary. We can't even follow the words. You've seen the big, big dictionaries? You children have seen those big dictionaries? You've seen a dictionary? In the library, they have dictionary this big. You can't even pick it up. It's so heavy. So, he would speak very erudite. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who was ever inviting. In this way, he would speak in very erudite English. These children can come sit here. There's space right here. Come on. Right here I have space. Come on. Come on. Come on to the front. Children, come to the front. Old people in the back, young people in the front. Yeah. Very good. I like the children to be close. I feel young that way, see. Very good. Ah, very good. Thank you very much, children. Okay, so in the evening time, and all these, most of the disciples, they're village boys. They don't hardly know English. What to speak of erudite English? So in the evening time, they would all go for darshan. But this young businessman, pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad, he would sit and hear. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but simply I would go on hearing. And then when it came, just like in our ISKCON, if somebody is, sometimes the temple authority will recommend to Guru, say, Guru Maharaj, I think this devotee is ready for initiation. I recommend him for initiation. So they recommended Guru Maharaj, this Abhay Charan from Allahabad, we would like to recommend him for initiation. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he said, yes, I have seen, he hears very nicely, therefore I am accepting as my disciple. So yes, hearing is the most important thing. And Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, now I can preach very nicely. So the most important thing is to hear. Now you all, I'm training these, trying to train these children here, and stop playing with that purse. Stop that. Stop playing with the purse. Stop it. You sit and hear nicely. Okay? You hear me. You hear. See, I'm trying to train everyone to learn how to hear. Because this hearing process will liberate us. If we simply have no other business, now I am here with the spiritual master. I'm going to tune into what he's saying. I may understand what he's saying. I may not understand. But let me just hear, take deeply into my heart these transcendental sound vibrations. In this way, one advances very quickly. And then when you chant, your chanting will be very nice. First, if you have first-class hearing, your chanting will also be first-class. So that's a nice question, Prabhu. Thank you. Yes?
Maharaj, just want to check, like, day-to-day activities, we get so much swayed by material or mundane things around that we actually forget that we are soul and not body.
Right.
So how, what is the easiest process to actually always keep in mind that actually we are soul and not body?
He says doing the mundane activities, day-to-day life, then we forget. We can't always remember that we are soul, not the body. But how we can remind ourselves that we, in doing all the kinds of activities, how can we remind
you? You need to have a very good morning program, either at the temple or at home. You have to have quality japa, you have to read Prabhupada's books. I recommend that you should offer an arti and to Guru and Krishna and sing Gravastakam prayers every morning. If you have tulsi, do a quick tulsi arti also. Have a nice temple ashram atmosphere, an ashram atmosphere in your home. A little room, set aside, if possible, have a whole room, which is your temple room, where you can go and just feel like you're with God, with Krishna. Where you can get your, I mean, would you Would you leave the house if your mobile phone wasn't charged? You know, you don't want to miss that important call. So why would you leave your house if your spiritual battery isn't fully charged? You see? Because you'll miss the connection with Krishna. Therefore, they say, why 16 rounds? Because that's the minimum charge for 24 hours of Krishna consciousness. 15 rounds, you're going to, you know, near the end of the day, you'll lose it. You lose your connection. 16 rounds will keep you empowered for 24 hours a day of Krishna bhakti. Therefore, minimum 16 rounds. You see? 16 rounds. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, put that back. Can you do me a favor, please, little girl, and keep everything in your purse? Can I ask you a favor to do something for me tonight? Put everything in your purse, and put all those wonderful things back in your purse, okay? Thank you very much. And you can leave them there during my lecture. Then after the lecture, you can take them all out, but leave them there during my lecture, okay? Thank you very much. All right? Next question. So, has the harmonium come yet? The 10 minutes turned out to be 10 hours, I guess. Any other questions? Any of the children have questions? You children are the future leaders of the world. We want you to ask questions. Yes, here's the good one.
When Krishna was little, did he go into people's house and steal some honey?
What was it? Say the question again. Did you understand the question? There's too many things talking at once. One person said it once.
When Krishna was little, did he go to other people's house and steal honey?
Steal honey?
Steal.
Krishna, well, we do know one thing for sure, and that is he really likes butter. Krishna loves the butter, and he steals butter like anything. And whether we stole honey or not, he may have stolen the honey, because honey is also very nice. Do you like honey? Yes. Do you like butter? Yes. Well, Krishna, he very much... Do you know why you like butter? You like butter because you're part and parcel of Krishna and he likes butter. Therefore, you like butter. Yes, isn't butter wonderful? I remember when I was a boy, my parents used margarine. I didn't like it very much. But I went to my grandmother's house. She always had butter. I always liked to visit my grandmother's house because it was the butter, you see. So butter is very nice. Butter is very nice. So Krishna, he likes the butter. I don't know about honey, but he likes the butter. You had a question.
He was going to repeat what...
Okay, thank you. Any other children have questions? We like it very much when the children ask questions. No, you have to ask serious question, okay? Didn't say anything? Now we want serious questions. She asked a good question. I liked her question. It was a very serious question. Sarah, okay, very good.
Why is Krishna's name Krishna?
Oh, that's a very nice question. Thank you very much. Thank you for that nice question. Okay. The reason Krishna is called Krishna is this. The word Krishna has a wonderful, wonderful meaning. Krishna means all attractive. Consider any wonderful, attractive thing. Just like if someone is powerful, that's very attractive. A big, strong man comes in who can lift 100, 300 pounds, you see. That's attractive, a strong man. Or someone who's very beautiful, like Miss Australia, you see. If she comes very beautiful, that is attractive. If someone is very renowned, like Mahatma Gandhi, you see, that's very attractive. If someone is very knowledgeable, like Einstein, the famous scientist, that is very attractive. If someone is very wealthy, like Bill Gates, you see, these things are very attractive. So if there is one person who has more power, who has more beauty, who has more renunciation, who has more knowledge, who has more wealth and more fame than anybody else in the world, he would certainly be all attractive, wouldn't he? And what is the best word to describe somebody who is all attractive?
Krishna.
Krishna, that's right. So that's why he's called Krishna, because he's all attractive. Okay, great. I got so many kids waiting now. This is great. The kids are defeating the adults. You adults only had 5 or 6 questions. I got 10 kids with questions here. Okay, let's take this one.
Why does Krishna like the flute?
Why does he like the flute? Well, I can tell you why Krishna likes the flute. Because when he plays the flute, it makes the most amazing, beautiful music you could ever imagine in your whole life to hear. In fact, it's so beautiful that even the cows are stunned by his flute. You know that? The cows just go into complete ecstasy when they hear the flute. Krishna likes the flute because it's so beautiful. When he plays it, it's the most sweet, beautiful sound. You see? That's why he likes the flute. Okay. Let's see. All right. Oh, that's a very good question. Why did Krishna's mother tie him up? Well, you know, Krishna, he was being very naughty boy. Very, very naughty boy. So, the mother tied him up because he was naughty. Okay. The reason Krishna likes butter is it's the most wonderful gift from the cow. Krishna loves the cow, you see. And the milk is very nice, you see. But what is the finest essence of the milk? That is the butter. So because it comes from his favorite animal, the cow, he very much likes the butter, you see. All right?
Balaram's
house? Does Krishna like to go where?
No, people like to go to Hare Rama's house, means to the temple, I guess.
Do people like to go to the temple? Is that the question? Children don't laugh, okay? Don't laugh, be serious, all right? People like to go to the temple because that's Krishna's house. That way they get to associate with Krishna. Sit still. Okay, next question. This has to stop. Okay. Yeah, you should turn around. Face me. Okay, what was the question? Why did he pull down the trees? The Arjun trees. Yeah. Actually, when Krishna pulled down the trees, that was his great mercy upon Nalakuvera and Manigriva. You know this? Who asked the question? Yeah. These two demigods had done a greatly sinful act in the heavenly planets in the Mandakini River, which is the celestial Ganges. They had been
carousing in a drunken state in the celestial waters, and they were cursed by Narada Muni to become trees, to free them from the sinful reactions that they had accrued by their drunken activities in the celestial Ganges River. So when Krishna pulled them down, this was his great kindness to deliver them from the curse of having taken birth as trees, so that they could become great devotees. That was the great kindness of Krishna upon Manigriva and Nalukavira. This was their this is how they became liberated. So any of the adults have questions now? All right. I'll let you.
Why is Krishna blue?
Why is Krishna blue?
Yes. Krishna is blue. You know, Krishna can be whatever color he wants to be. He's not like you or me. He's stuck whatever skin he was born with. He can be any color he wants to be, but you know why he's blue? Let me ask, why are you wearing a blue sweatshirt? Do you like that color? Yes. Krishna is blue because he likes blue. He thinks it's really a cool color, see? So he manifests a blue complexion. He could be any color he wants, but he chooses blue, just like this boy is wearing a blue sweatshirt. He could choose any color of sweatshirt when he went to the store, but he chose this one because he likes the color blue. So Krishna also has chosen the color blue because he likes it. Don't you think he looks good in blue?
Yeah.
Yes. He's very beautiful. Yes. Okay.
Why does Krishna like to dance?
Because actually, because dancing is so, he finds it is great fun to dance. Actually, especially when he can dance with the gopis, it is great pleasure for him to dance. Even in this world, people like to dance. Do you like to dance in the kirtan? Why not? You should try it. It's fun. The next time there's kirtan and people are dancing, you should get in and dance in the kirtan. And you will see why Krishna likes to dance. Dancing is so much fun. Yes, dancing is very much fun. All right.
How many forms did Krishna have?
How many forms does Krishna have? You cannot... If you could count all the grains of sand on the beach, you would still not be able to count all the forms that Krishna has. He has more forms than there are grains of sand on the beach. Yes, back there.
Is there something specific about that makes Krishna find it very relaxing?
Can you repeat that question, please? So many people are talking.
Everyone try to be... I have a request, so everyone be quiet except for the person who's been recognized to ask the question. Yeah. Actually, Krishna especially likes the flute because he can attract the gopis with it. The gopis are so attracted by it. So that's if you really want to know why he especially likes to play the flute, because all the gopis become attracted when he plays the flute. That's how he attracts them to come for the rasa dance, you see. Okay, any adults have a question? All right. Now, here we go.
When we chant the mantra, we say Rama also there. Like we are saying Krishna and Rama also. Mm-hmm. Could you please enlighten
on that? What is the question?
In the Mahamantra, we chant Krishna and Rama. So mm-hmm. Could you enlighten on that?
Yes, actually, Rama means the supreme enjoyer. So actually, the name Rama is also a name for Krishna himself. It can also be understood as being Lord Balaram, or Lord Ramachandra, or Lord Parasaram. So it can be understood in any one of those four ways. But in any case, you're asking the Lord in His energy to please engage you in His service. this particular form, you may say, why don't we just chant Krishna? Why do we? This particular mantra is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad as the most effective means of achieving spiritual perfection in this age of Kali. So it is not something that was concocted by, even by Lord Chaitanya. It was given in the Shastra, the Kali Santarana Upanishad, as the most effective means of spiritual perfection in this age. Questions more? All right.
How many names does Krishna have?
How many?
Names
Krishna has, just as he has unlimited name, unlimited forms, he also has unlimited names. He has millions and billions of names. Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Rishikesha, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Nisringa, the list goes on and on. Hundreds and millions of names. Yes? He has a feather on his head because it makes he. And that is his great kindness upon, because he's very fond of the peacock. He gives the special blessing to the peacock by wearing the feather of the peacock in his hair. You see, that is his, because he is so much fond of the peacock. He wears the peacock feather. That is a great mercy, a blessing upon the peacocks, that their feather gets to adorn the head of Krishna. So, I think we will have one last question and then we'll stop and see. Back here.
What is Krishna's nickname?
Kana. Okay, so I thank you all very, very much. It was so nice, especially the children. I wanted to thank them very much for coming, giving up their so-called play in the back to come and have the real play of tuning into Krishna. You see, this is more fun than running around screaming in the parking lot, which is a very passionate rajasic thing. This is sattvic thing. It's more elevating and more satisfying, actually. But they have to learn how to do it. But they're learning very nicely. I can see these children are all learning very nicely how to sit in here. They're very wonderfully there, sitting and asking questions. So all the parents can see, how, what is the great benefit of Krishna Bhakti? All, everyone can engage. Okay, so we'll stop here. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.